it on, everybody. Gotta get it on. Welcome to the podcast. Very excited to have CEO of Jack in the Box, president of Jack in the Box, Jack himself. Jack, good to see you.
Hey, Adam. Good to see you, too.
Is that your title, by the way? Do you own Jack in the Box?
Jack in the Box is a publicly traded company, so the shareholders own Jack in the Box, but I am the founder.
I'm reading my cheat sheet here, and it says it started in 1951. You can take those headphones off.
Yeah, they're a little small for my head.
You got a lot of head on.
You can only do one side at a time.
Yeah. I remember Jack in the Box as a kid. There was a Jack in the Box on Laurel Canyon in North Hollywood. Still there, by the way.
Yeah, that'd be number 27.
We call it
27.
Old 27 was by my house in North Hollywood. And some of my earliest, fondest memories were the tacos. I always liked the hot apple pie. I felt like McDonald's got all. It seemed to get. They got too much attention for their apple pie. I thought your apple pie was quite superior.
Thanks. We like to underpromise and overdeliver on the apple pie.
Yeah, a lot of smoke and mirrors and pomp and circumstance with the McDonald's apple pie, but they didn't come through in the clutch. Your apple pie was A, shaped like a taco, which is nice, because now you have two things on the menu shaped as tacos.
It really cuts down on the packaging, too.
And your mouth would be burned when you would bite into it, and the molten hot apple juice would come out of there, but it was delightful.
Yeah. The molten part caused us to stop serving the apple pie. After a while, but there weren't enough people who enjoyed the molten hotness of it to continue.
Well, you know, there are two things I'd like to see make a return to fast food. That would be, you want to write this down?
Yeah. Okay.
I would like the apple pie to make a return to Jack in the Box, and I don't know if we're going to get the Taco Bell guy on next week or the dog, but I would like the Bell Beefer brought back, too. I'm old school.
The Bell what?
Beefer. Don't play dumb, Jack. You got your eye on the competition. You remember the Bell Beefer. It's a hot dog. It's a bun. It's a, not a hot dog bun. It's a hamburger bun that just had the taco meat put on it.
Yeah, not my product.
Yeah.
No, can't
go there.
What do
you think of those guys? I mean, do you guys get along? Do you beat them in softball? How does it work?
Ronald McDonald is a decent guy.
He is?
Played golf with him a few times.
He
does some good work with the kids. Ronald McDonald House, can't knock that. That's good. The Burger King is kind of a punk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not into him, huh?
Yeah. I just think he's creepy. He's a complete figment of some ad agency's imagination.
Right.
Giant plastic head.
His expression almost never changes.
No.
Yeah, you're right.
And he doesn't talk.
Yeah, he's not. No, he's not real like you.
Not real.
I agree. I never really thought about that. And nobody's sufficiently creeped out by him. It's like they wake up in their bed. That creepy Burger King is standing at the foot of their bed, and they're like, "What's for breakfast?" Instead of, "Ah, holy shit! What is this madman doing in my house?"
Yeah, I agree completely. It's complete fiction and. Like I said, I think he's a punk.
How about the Wendy's chick, that little redhead, that little Pippi Longstocking who never seems to age?
You know, Dave Thomas,
yep.
May he rest in peace, was a force in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And when he passed away, I think they ran out of ideas, and they like, you know, there's Jack, there's Ronald, there's Burger King. Let's try this cartoon chick with the pigtails and see what happens. And
yeah, it didn't fly for me.
No.
I don't like redheads. And then also, I don't like redheads around my food. You know, if we're at a whorehouse, that's one thing. But making a burger, and I never signed off on the square burger.
No.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, that's not natural.
You guys are doing sliders now, right? You're doing mini burgers.
We're doing mini burgers. We discovered a herd of mini cattle.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it the other day.
Yeah, little
dwarf cattle
the size of schnauzers.
Yeah, I heard the song.
Rounded up by mini cowboys riding mini horses.
I got to say, it's got to be nice for the mini man these days. You know, these are the salad days for the dwarf. Lots of work coming their way.
And, you know, they're just thrilled not to be working as elves around Christmas time.
But can you imagine being like Shelley Long and realize that dwarfs are getting more work in Hollywood than you are? You used to be on one of the biggest sitcoms and star in all these
movies. Yeah, we had her come in and audition.
Get a read for Dwarf Cowboy.
And didn't make it.
So, and by the way, your wife's hot. I love her.
You know, everyone wants to talk about my hot wife, Cricket.
Well, it's Cricket. I didn't even, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know her name. I mean, I hope you take this in the spirit in which it's intended, but I'd love to bang the bejesus out of her. She is hot.
She is hot. I hope my son's not listening.
Oh, yeah, your son. Your son.
Jack Jr.
Sure.
He's 10.
Jack. You know, I felt like this, and you tell me, Jack Senior. The menu was essentially locked off for like 35 years, and then all of a sudden it opened up into a kaleidoscope of possibilities. I mean, we got the junior burgers now. There was the falafel-y stuff that was going on. I mean, there's so many different combinations on the menu now. When did this all open up?
Basically when I returned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Blew you up. They blew you out of
management
there.
Management blew me up in 1980, and it took me 14 years to kind of regroup, get my peeps together, and then I took the company back in 94.
Were there some tough years, a lot of soul searching?
A lot of plastic surgery.
Sure, you want to look good. You're going to be on TV.
Tough to come back after being blown up.
Right.
And so I had kind of a management coup. I went back to Jack in the Box, blew up the boardroom,
mm-hmm.
replaced everybody, and that's when I started coming up with new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sirloin burgers, nobody else is doing that.
Right.
Chipotle seasonings, no one's doing that. So that kind of stuff.
I successfully made it to the age of 40 without hearing the word Chipotle one time.
Yeah.
And then from 40 to 44, I've heard it 3,000 times.
I like to think that I helped America be able to pronounce Chipotle.
Yeah, nobody.
There was a lot of confusion.
I didn't know what the hell to say. And listen, I go so far back with Jack, I remember Rodney Allen Rippey.
Yeah.
And he was holding up that jumbo Jack. And I remember thinking, that little brother's got it made. Look at him.
Yeah.
He's got that big jumbo Jack in his hands. You guys tight? You stay in touch?
He stays in touch with me.
Oh, I
hear from him about every week.
Mm-hmm.
And, I tell him if I have something that's right for him.
We'll call him.
Yeah.
Same with Shelley Long.
Yes. But we're
yeah.
What can you? So now it's just the point where I tell my assistant, you know, like I'm out.
Right.
I'm dry. I'm looking at a cow. I'm busy.
Right. So you're out. You're not taking Rodney's calls anymore. It's kind of sad.
Not so much.
And I call him a kid, but he's 48.
Yeah.
Or whatever he is. I don't know if anyone. Maybe it's just me. Maybe this happens to everyone, but. Every single cute black kid I saw growing up is now out of work.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's discrimination or Hollywood. You know, I feel like Ron Howard has a gig. I watched him, but all the cute black kids are officially shit out of luck.
Yeah, although recently I worked with, the guy who
Webster?
Was
Webster?
No, the guy who was doing the loans, you know, the...
Oh, yeah. What you talking about, Jack? Yeah.
We had him in a spot. It was a poker thing, and I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah. Let's see. There was, what you talking about, Willis?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing commercials.
And he's 45, and he was a security Urkel? Guard. And
not Urkel,
not
you
Urkel.
Stoner. You know, it's fun. I like it when I can't think of the name of somebody, and then somebody else suggested someone else's name was wrong, and I go, what are you, a fucking idiot? No, not fucking Urkel. Jesus Christ, I said what you talking about, Willis, four times.
Yeah.
Use your fucking head.
Todd Bridges?
No.
Todd Bridges is Willis, you idiot. Gary Coleman.
Thank you.
Yes. So you work with Gary.
Yeah.
And how was that experience for you, Jack?
It was forgettable.
Oh, really?
Literally, I could not. Right now, I could not remember his name.
Yeah. Really? So it just wasn't a good experience. Well, what do we have planned for the future of Jack? And where do you guys stand? Like, are you beating Taco Bell? Are you beating Burger King? Like, I'm sure, you know, McDonald's is the reigning heavyweight champ of fast food.
They're huge.
They're huge. But then after that,
yeah,
I don't know if it's a regional thing. I've grown up. I've been in North Hollywood my whole life. There was a Taco Bell on one side of the street, and there was a Jack in the Box on the other. I never knew who did more business.
Yeah. Well, you know, like per store, we crush Taco Bell.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because they're selling stuff for like 59 cents.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, my products, you know, like a sirloin burger is like $4 or $5.
Right.
So we're crushing them.
So they have to sell like 26 tacos to get to one sirloin burger.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Now, we're small, but we're nimble.
Uh-huh.
We can do stuff that the big guys can't do.
You're like the Dave Meggett of fast food joints.
Yeah?
Not a big Giants fan?
No.
He would return kicks. By the way, Donnie would be no help with it. He was a small return man.
Uh-huh.
Played in the 80s. But I had a Super Bowl or two. Played with LT. Okay. He'd return kicks, and he was also like a third down running back. He was a little guy.
By the way, worked with LT.
Joe Washington. Lawrence Taylor.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. We were in a fishing. We were duck hunting, and I had Lawrence Taylor on one side of me and Brian Boitano on the other side.
Same athlete.
Both athletes. Yeah. And we did a spot together.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I must have missed the one with Boitano
well,
and Taylor.
There's been 400 spots. If you'd like, I could send you, you know, like a CD or a DVD with.
I did see the most recent mini cowboy, you know, one. I'm with you on that. And I remember you got hit by the bus. And I remember I like the new one where we pull the sleeves off you to expose your massive guns. I mean, I didn't know you were working out that hard.
It's not something I brag about. A lot of guys, you know, I don't normally walk around with my shirt off, but.
Jesus, I would if I was built like you. And plus that hot wife cricket of yours.
Yeah.
So I didn't see the one where you were in the duck blind with Boitano, but
yeah, it was a few years ago.
I'm gonna look for it on YouTube.
Yeah, there's some pretty obscure stuff.
And so 400 of these things you've shot. Anything, by the way, coming out that we could look forward to?
Well, we had such a positive response from the Little Cowboys that you're going to be seeing them again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I can't go into a lot of detail, but I can tell you that there will be a dance associated with this next jingle.
Really?
Yes.
A dance that might capture the imagination of America and sweep across it?
I predict that it will be huge in middle school cafeterias across the country.
Really?
Yes.
Watch out, Soldier Boy.
That's all I can say.
Humpty Hump or whatever you
young
idiots are doing these days. Well, I've got some listener mail. Booker Mike August, how about you read some of these questions? Find some you like. Grab a highlighter. Donnie, give the man a highlighter for the love of Christ.
Well, I'd be happy to, Adam.
Thank you, Mike.
Hello, Jack.
Hey. What do you got for us?
Well, so Close a Lady says, Adam, who is your favorite band of all time?
Geez, I don't know. I think the point with bands is you have like 10 different ones you love for 10 different reasons. And it's sort of like the greatest food, which is what could be better than pizza? On the other hand, what could be better than lasagna? On the other hand, what could be better than sushi? So who the hell knows? I would say if you just held me down and put a gun to my head, I would probably say The Who. I'd say The Who has between, you know, Tommy and Quadrophenia and the rock operas and all just the singles and the just pure rock songs and the horn-driven stuff. And the string-driven stuff that I would say, I'd say The Who. The Beatles is too easy, and I just go ahead and say The Who. So what are you shaking your head for, Donnie?
Zeppelin's way better than The Who.
Led Zeppelin would be, Led Zeppelin.
These are such easy choices.
Led Zeppelin is so easy. All right.
This is a total cop-out.
Rory Gallagher.
No, it's Meatloaf.
No way.
It's totally Meatloaf.
You love it because it's named after food.
Yes, but you got to, I mean, talk about an unlikely rock star. Guy's like 350 pounds, sweats like a pig, shaggy mess of hair, and the guy can sing.
All right. So, Jack, you're going Meatloaf.
Yeah. Well, he's the, I like the underdog. Meatloaf is the most unlikely rock star ever.
That's true. Roger Daltrey was probably a rock star in the seventh grade.
Yeah.
And Meatloaf. Could you imagine Meatloaf making the proclamation, I'm going to New York, and I'm going to become a rock star. Like, okay, fatty, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
And my ticket to fame is this 32-minute song.
That's right.
Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Here, you got half an hour, here it comes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Meatloaf's
I like
good.
Meatloaf.
You probably like Humble Pie, too, because that's named after a dessert. Any other bands? Vanilla Fudge.
Bread.
Any other food-based bands you like? Is there a band called Chipotle?
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
That would be a decent band.
Yeah, very, it's a Tex-Mex kind of a thing.
Well, it'd be one of those things like if Chipotle opened for free beer, you just put it up on the marquee and you just drive past and go, hey, Chipotle and free beer, let's head.
Yeah.
Yeah, go in, check that out.
Speaking of which, I got something. Let me pull this out of my wallet for you. I wanted you to have this.
Free tacos.
That's a coupon.
Nice.
For two free tacos.
I got to say this, and I hope you take this in the spirit that it's intended. Now, Jack, I've seen your guns, so I don't want to anger you. But I do want to make this comment about your tacos.
Yeah.
They don't exactly taste like tacos. They taste like Jack-in-the-Box tacos.
That's right.
They've transcended taco and become their own food. It's sort of like a Twinkie. A Twinkie doesn't taste like a pastry. It tastes like a Twinkie.
Right.
And actually, ultimately, it's where you want to be. Your tacos are not good tacos. They're Jack-in-the-Box tacos, which is better than good tacos. I can get a good taco on any corner from any Mexican in Southern California. But this is Jack in the Box. And again, I know it sounds like a backhanded compliment, but you've actually transcended the taco and become your own food group.
I take that as a total compliment because, in fact, our idea from the beginning was, what can we do to attract the 20 million people driving around at 3 a.m. who are hungry?
Yes.
And the answer is not the best taco in the world.
No.
The answer is my taco.
Yeah, no, it's that way with booze, women, tacos. You know, at 3 a.m. on a Saturday, you don't want the best.
Yeah.
You want Jack's.
What's available? What's easy?
I want cricket. And available? That's right.
Cricket's not easy nor available.
No, I'm just saying. You don't. There is that thing where somewhere after midnight on a Saturday night, especially if you put back a couple of beers, you're not looking for gourmet tacos, women, or microbrew beer. You want it down and dirty. Mike, does anything else over there catch your fancy?
Acid Root Blues is asking, just wondering what your views on marijuana are.
Hmm. Well, Jack would be out of business if people couldn't get hold of said marijuana at 3 a.m. on Saturday night to ingest said tacos. So, well, Jack, you know, he has shareholders. And he probably can't come out and endorse it. But, Jack,
you know,
buddy.
I've been accused of running a spot that showed a guy in a van at the drive-thru.
Uh-huh.
People refer to it as the stoner spot.
Uh-huh.
But he's not stoned. He does order 30 tacos. But
sure.
He's not stoned. He's just tired.
One of my favorite Jack spots. The other, he's a great actor, that kid. The other great one.
He's not acting.
He's
not.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Here he is. We're looking at it now, sitting in his custom van. To me, now flashing back, speaking of being stone, Jack, my favorite all time Jack spot is where the Husky guy from Lost tries to impersonate you. That is, What's that?
Jorge.
Jorge.
Yeah.
When Jorge tries to impersonate Jack and the chicks are digging him and he's like signing checks, that's one of not only the best Jack in the Box commercials, maybe one of the best spots in the last 10 years.
Wow.
I enjoyed the bejesus out of that one.
You know, we saw Jorge a few days ago, and he said after that spot ran, his phone lit up. He got all kinds of offers, and he got lost.
Now, it's funny when you say he got lost.
Well, you know.
Right. So who's on first with Jack in the Box? But that spot was, he went into a Jack in the Box telling people he was you.
Yeah, because he had the hat.
He had the hat, yeah.
And you know who else was in that spot?
A young Marlon Brando.
Close. The guy who played Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. Boy, you have...
We're launching people.
You have launched a lot of careers. You've also taken a few down. I got it. Well, you're not taking Rodney's call anymore.
I don't know if you can call that a career.
I'm just saying, yeah. Jorge, yeah. And the kid from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Mike?
On the pop culture front, Rick Breakfast wants to ask, back in the day, what was your take on the 1980s TNA teen comedies like Porky's, Revenge of the Nerds? Why were these movies popular? Was it the formula? How do we bring these back?
We didn't have fucking cable. If you go back and watch, first off, Porky's is a hackneyed attempt at shit. I mean, that thing... Porky's, go watch, anyone who's waxing nostalgic about the original Porky's, that was a very unfunny cat turd rolled in Chipotle sauce. That fucking movie sucked. And here's the thing, it had the whole shower thing, it had the whole TNA, put the dick through the shower stunt that everyone remembers. That was a weird movie because there was a whole anti-Semitic vibe in Porky's. There was a whole part where like one of the kids was Jewish and the other kid like came up and was like, hey, Kike. Hey, Jew boy. And the whole thing really sucked. Like, if you watched Porky's stem to stern, soup to nuts, you would go, this is a fucking unfunny comedy. Not funny at all. Some tits. I'll definitely give it credit for tits. Watch it or read the script. Unfunny. Revenge of the Nerds and all that stuff. That's all just you guys when you were retarded in 14 thinking something was funny. If you watched any of that shit now, it looks like hackneyed amateur hour bullshit. And the fact that those people made billions of dollars on it is a fucking travesty. Porky's is not funny. It's the name is good. And the dick in the shower scene got everyone talking about it. And the rest is just a bunch of fart humor from like vaudevillian days. And it's really, most of it is serious and there's nothing going on. So that movie sucked, and all those nerd movies sucked, too. Is there any other one? Was there another one that I'm missing?
What else did he ask about? He was a big
fan. Not to be confused with something like Animal House, which was like 30 Porky's, maybe 150 Porky's.
He's a respecter of the formula, which is TNA plus bad jokes plus teens plus college equals 80s movie.
I don't know what happened to the T and or the A. It got replaced with Keanu Reeves dodging a bullet in slow motion. I don't know when somebody thought, hey, you know, we should pull all the tits and ass out of R-rated movies and have guys dodging bullets in slow motion. When did that become spankable? I say bring the T and the A back to these R-rated movies. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, Jack backed me up on this one. Growing up, when you saw the R rating, the only reason you would go see it is because it's like, all right, we're going to see some boobies. Finally, we got to see some boobies. There's not a lot of boobies in R-rated movies anymore. It's a lot of violence. It's a lot of terrorist plots to blow up the UN and all that shit. But I'm not seeing TNA. And when I do see TNA, I'm seeing weird, twisted TNA, like guys munching box in History of Violence and stuff like that. I want to see just TNA, like get out the fucking trampoline and put the chicks in the bikini bottoms and tell them to get busy. I don't want to see this stupid TNA. Now it's this weird, passionate, he's melting wax on her ass and he's got a fetish. I don't want to see any of that. I want cheerleader TNA. Sorry.
Jack? So, anyway, on my website, I got a new website coming out. Uh-huh. I don't know. I feel all
TNA?
That...
No, it's a smooth transition.
Yeah, I don't know if I can really weigh in on the whole TNA thing.
We You could shoehorn a little of that. I mean, you know, like we talked about. Again, I'm trying to be respectful, but your wife Cricket, very easy on the eyes.
We've done spots where we had women doing pillow fights and
lingerie. Sure,
it's part of you know, focus group research.
Yeah, putting Jack back in Jack in the Box. Yeah. What else you got there, Mike?
You know, what? Right up Jack's alley with the recent incident with the bus. We were all very aware of the story that came out of Denver this past spring. The 58-year-old bus driver was helping two women across a busy street in Denver in a snowstorm, was hit by a truck. He pushed three people out of the path of a pickup truck before being struck and injured, suffered bleeding in the brain, broken bones, dislocated shoulder. Reward? A jaywalking ticket.
He really gave him a jaywalking ticket.
Trooper Ryan Sullivan said that despite Moffitt's intentions, jaywalking contributed to the accident.
Let me... By the way, what the fuck? And don't, and cops, I mean, really, cops, whatever happened to sliding over the hood of your cruiser and yelling, no time for backup? Now you're writing jaywalking ticket to heroes. Is this what it's come to? This is why you got into law enforcement? Here's what I claim, Jack.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I know you don't know the law, but here's what I want to say.
I know some people in Denver. I might be able to make this
go away. I was driving down Ventura Boulevard this morning on my way to work and saw a guy crossing the street, but one of these guys who was in such a hurry and in not such a hurry simultaneously that he would cross it when his side of the street was clear, but then stop in the middle of the street and wait for the other side to clear. That guy's always confusing because you don't know whether to stop when you're coming to him. He was texting.
Yeah.
He was standing in the middle of Ventura Boulevard looking down and texting. How fucking bored do you have to be? There's 6,000-pound cars 40 miles an hour going sailing past you, and he's texting.
Yeah. Normally, I would agree with you, but as a guy who was recently hit by a bus in the street, I feel a little sympathy.
You do?
For people in the street.
How about
a newfound sympathy.
How about this crazy bitch? Same stretch of Ventura Boulevard a day later, woman holding her two-year-old stopped in the middle of the street. Now, here's the point, and here's what I want to say to Johnny Law. I used to teach traffic school. If you drive past that jackass who thought it'd be a good idea to stand in the middle of the street and text versus walk down to the corner and use the signal of the crosswalk, or better yet, just fucking wait till it's clear and sprint across like a scared deer. Mm-hmm. If you blow past that guy, you're getting a ticket.
Yeah, because pedestrians have the right of way.
No, he's getting a ticket too. You're right. He's getting a ticket for jaywalking, and you're getting a ticket
for not yielding.
Now, let me say this, Fuzz. Arrest the guy who robs the liquor store, not the guy behind the counter and the guy who robbed the liquor store.
Yeah.
One of the guys got robbed, and the other guy took his money and ran, and you're going to go in and give that guy a ticket too? One or the other. Either you give him a fucking jaywalking ticket or you give the motorist a ticket. We can't both be guilty.
Yeah. And I agree with you. But like I said, as someone who's actually been hit.
By a bus.
By a bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wished the bus driver would have yielded.
Yeah, I can dig it.
You know?
Thank God, as we talked
about. And that guy wasn't arrested.
Those huge guns you have. If you weren't in such phenomenal shape, you probably wouldn't have survived that crash.
Well, I had some mediocre medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the prayers of a nation.
Oh, we were behind you, yeah.
I'm watching it again.
Yeah.
I was thinking, the last thought I had was, my hat's going to fall off.
Yeah, clearly.
And it did. Yeah.
And your eyes go to X's.
I like the X and the I thing, yeah.
Great look.
Which either means you're dead or drunk.
Yeah.
Or both.
Oh, look, there's an angel looking over me.
Yeah. Mike, what else you got?
Well, we have a little bit of what can't Adam complain about on the board.
Oh, boy.
Bren wants to know, hey, Adam, you can't complain about automatic flushers on the urinal, can you?
Yes, I can complain about automatic flushers on the urinal. First off, I like hitting the handle on a urinal. It's like pulling the arm on a slot machine. It feels good. You know what I mean?
But on the other hand, it's more contact with who knows what that's on the handle. And you know, it's a germ-free thing when it's an automatic flush.
I don't. First off,
do you not care about germs on your hands?
No, germs are my friend.
Really?
Yes.
How?
Because I am never sick because I look at germs in the eye and I scoff. Huh. I laugh at them. I'm not with all these half of fags in their Purell buckets running around worried about my peanut allergies. I say, fuck it. I'm not allergic to anything. I don't get sick, and when I do get sick, I just continue.
Hmm.
I just go on. I blow snot rockets, and I just continue. I'm not scared of germs. I eat shit off the floor. If you followed...
We in the food business.
I don't want to bring
have
this
a little
back.
Different view of germs.
I do. But listen, Jack, again, take this in the spirit in which it's intended. If we took all the things that go into one of your tacos and followed their path.
Whoa.
What would you from the slaughterhouse to the fields of Iowa to whatever Mexican trucking company brings over the cheese, believe me what's on that handle, you have nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
I like the idea of pulling that handle and flushing my own toilet. Plus...
Well, that may be the case, but you can't get a job at a Jack in the Box.
I hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. You can't just come at me like that. Are you telling me I can't?
Oh, sir, yeah. No.
Oh, Jack, no,
you're living
I'm sorry.
High now. We're with the Adam Carolla podcast, but someday you're going to be applying, and I'm going to be remembering... This guy likes to touch the handle.
You can't just kick in my door and ruin my world that way. Do you understand? Are you telling me I can't be employed by Jack in the Box?
You're going to have to modify your stance on germs to get a job.
I like the guy who works in the fast food industry. Not necessarily the fast food, but the guy who just works like in the institution that serves the food. Who's so... married to his biker beard that he has to wear the huge beard bib net thing. And it's like, buddy, one or the other. You know what I mean? I mean, all you're doing is you're working at the cafeteria at the hospital, you know, and you're wearing the huge biker whatever beard. How about we just don't hire guys with massive ZZ Top beards?
Yeah.
All right. But let me say this. And yes, I can. Here's the deal. First off, I don't like the man flushing the toilet for me, and I don't like the fact that we're half and half. The nation is half pull handles on the urinal flush and half non-pull handles, which is the same boat we're in with the twist top on the beers. Half pop top, half twist top fucks you up. What we need is all pull handles or all automatic flushers, because I walk into a bathroom and there's a big old golden pot of foaming piss waiting for me, and I realize the motherfucker who pissed at this last time was used to the automatic flusher. This ain't an automatic flusher, but he's gone soft. He's used to taking a piss and walking away. Let God flush it, because that's how it works. No, this is. So either we convert to all or nothing. Yes.
I can see this is troubling you.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about maybe just stepping... aside to the next urinal to find like a happy clean urinal?
No. I don't
you should try that.
I don't play that. And the other thing I don't like are the assholes that do the flushing where they do it with their foot and they put their foot up on the thing and now I gotta touch your crap foot up there. And then here's where the trouble really comes. The trouble comes with the sink. Now you go to the sink. You go to the sink at the airport and you have to do that thing where you're waving your hand under it. Hey magic water. Please, I command you to start by waving my hand. Now, you look retarded because half the time you're doing it at the airport, LAX, they're all hand. But you get to Phoenix, and they don't work that way. So you look like an idiot standing there in the airport waving your hand, and some guy goes, hey, turn the handle, buddy. And you're like, oh, all right, I didn't know. But you do the hand wave thing, and it doesn't work half the time. So you do the weird thing, and then it turns on for like 3 seconds and then turns off again, like, what do you think I'm doing? Filling a fucking waterbed at the goddamn airport? I just want to wash my fucking hands. You couldn't give me 8 seconds of water?
Do you say this stuff out loud when you're in the restroom to other people?
Let me tell you
like
how...
Like you walk up to other guys and go, you know what pisses me off about
this?
I will.
I'm looking at the clock right now. I'll tell you what 5 seconds is. Now. There's no way the water runs for 5 seconds at the airport. They give you 2 seconds. And then you have to wave your hand again, but the thing hasn't rebooted. So you're like waving your hand like a fucking dolphin in front of this fucking, like, could you give me some water? How about they just give you fucking 20 seconds? How about just 20 seconds? Maybe you walk away and it's still running, but they give you 10 or 15 seconds. They give you 3 fucking seconds with that airport shit. Well,
based on what I'm hearing, you're still not getting a job at Jack in the Box.
I don't like washing my hands, but I do like handling fecal matter and urine. Thank you.
Well, that was tremendous.
Because I give that like a 5 degree of difficulty, but this next one to complain about is a 10.
Uh-oh.
Because, Adam, how could you ever possibly complain? This is Noah asking about the theme music to the NFL film shows, the brass and bassoons and stuff. There's no way you can.
You love that, don't you?
That's good stuff. It's like, it reminds me of like the old series, like Victory at Sea.
Yes,
it's very militaristic.
Yes, yes.
I like that.
Men marching off to battle. All that stuff was farmed out, I think, to Germany, by the way. The composer, I believe the composer was out of Germany. He didn't know anything about football or even like football. Or to him, football was that stupid stuff where you kick the ball instead of run with it and have guys tackle you.
I used to own a football team.
Yeah.
The Carnivores.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Played in league. We played against the vegans and the rice cakes.
I remember, yeah.
We tore them up.
Them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's what I can complain about. There used to be a way to do things. There was no cheap way to do this. Now we have synthesizers and all sorts of tracks, and we can just electronically make this.
Yeah.
Back in the day, if you wanted it to be big and powerful and fill up a room, then you and 80 world-class musicians had to go into an acoustic space and lay it out. Now there's a cheaper way to do it.
Yeah.
And guess what route we go? The cheaper way. And it's never right.
And that is why I don't do that when I score my commercials. I hire real players, real instruments, and you have never seen more grateful guys than 3 trombone players getting a gig.
Right.
You
don't do one guy with a Casio.
Nope.
Right.
We got like 16 guys doing our theme music.
So essentially, there was one way to do it. It was the right way, and it was the expensive way, but one way. And now nobody's ever going to spend that kind of money again, except for Jack, of course. But there's no more.
I like trombonists.
I do, too. You know what I like? I like that they don't have fingerings. They have positions. You know what I mean? And I also like that weird counterweight thing that's at the end of the thing.
And the spit valve.
I like the spit valve, although trumpets and flugelhorns have those as well. But I do like that it's the only drunken instrument. It's the only. An oboe doesn't sound drunk.
Yeah.
What about saxophones?
Saxophone sounds cool. But a trombone sounds drunk, and I like that.
Yeah.
All right, so no qualms about. I cannot complain about the old NFL scoring other than to say it's the end of an era.
10 degree of difficulty.
Wait, hang on a second. I got one from Zach. Zach wants to know how you can complain about receiving oral. Gotcha, I think.
Jack, let's find out.
I'm so happy to be here today. Did I mention that I had a new website?
I can't, you know, I've said this once, Jack. I don't know if you know. A lot of guys talk about how good they are in the sack, you know, how they can please a lady all night long and how prolific they are and how many women they've been with and how they never run out of energy. They're the Energizer Bunny and all that. I don't make any of those claims. I do make one simple claim. Nobody receives oral as well as I. Now, I don't give it that good because, you know, I'm a talker and I'm a mouth breather, and I don't even going to try. But
you know, of all the things that we cover on the website, this is not one of them.
I receive like no other. I can tell you this. I'll tell you this about oral. And it's sad, but it's true. I have this theory that every time you do something, I don't even have this theory. I'm making it up right now because I don't think I've ever really talked about this before, to my knowledge. You enjoy things a percentage point or so less every time you do them. The first time you go to Disneyland, it's a magical experience. Nothing could be better. The 128th time you go, it's good. It's not as good as the first time you went.
Unless the 128th time you get to
you
like,
get
cut
oral.
In line.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You get your or cut in line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying using that algorithm with oral, the first time you got it was like, wow. My mind is officially blown, pardon the pun. Somewhere around the 2000th time you got it, you did it like a really good expensive restaurant that you've eaten at 100 times. You know, you go to a good steakhouse. When I made the transition from super poor to literally a millionaire, Jack, I remember going out to a steakhouse. Like, hey, this is Arnie Morton's. And it's like, wow, I'm getting the porterhouse, and I'm getting the baked potato and the chopped salad. And I remember just going like, holy shit, this is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And now Donnie and I will go down to Arnie Morton's on any given Saturday, and I enjoy it.
But it's no big deal.
Nah.
And so are you saying that you don't want to get hit anymore?
No. I do not spread that rumor around. I don't know what shape to have to draw your mouth on for that, but all I'm saying is this. I think the bloom is off the rose in the sense that it is not high school. Look, let's face it. If the next time I got oral sex, somehow it was like my penis was a freshman in high school, I'd be like going, first off, I'd be following my wife around. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was awesome. Awesome. When can we do that again? It's been 10 minutes. Can we try that again? We could do that again. I don't think it would hurt the kids. They could watch. They're not that old. I don't remember stuff that my parents did before I was 5. I mean, you know, now it's like, thanks. Yeah. That was good.
I can totally relate. The first time I saw the new logo, I was super excited.
Yeah.
But now I've seen it like 10 times. And I'm not as excited.
Yeah.
But it's still awesome.
And here's the problem, ladies. Here's where cheating comes in. Because you want to talk about a trip back to high school. When you experience the new mouth on the penis, all of a sudden, you're going back a couple of trips to Disneyland. Now you're resetting. You're not quite a first trip to Disneyland, but we certainly ain't on 5300. Somewhere back in the double digits again. That's all I'm saying. This is what happens. This is why guys cheat. And don't get me wrong. I love the oral, but if I had to complain about it, I would say that that's it. That's my trip to Disneyland.
I just like to say that I love my wife, Cricket. We've been together for a long time, and it's still super exciting.
But, Jack, you go on the road a lot.
I go on the road a lot.
And you're very recognizable.
I have the opportunity.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if you were like that Burger King nailing everything that's not fucked, I mean that guy fucks everything that's not nailed down.
But I'm not sure.
He's living the life.
I'm not sure which way he goes.
Oh, really?
Come on.
Fur. The guy wears a cape and leggings.
The fur. Yeah.
So. Wow.
No, I'm.
That is weird because my friend Tim was in Montreal once, and he's like, that Burger King guy sent over a drink. I was like, he was probably just being cool, but...
No.
You're right.
Yeah, he's in Canada, and he thinks it's okay
Yeah,
here.
It's cool. Yeah, people aren't going to talk.
Right.
You know, he's from a different era, though. Like, you know, I've seen the Tudors. They did a lot of swinging back then, you know?
Yeah.
So back, in his day of, like, merkins and cod pieces and stuff, it's true, the guy wears Peter Pan shoes made of felt and leggings. And a fur-lined cape.
Yeah, going off on business trips with first cousins.
He's got that shit-eating grin on his face all the time.
Yeah, it's not good.
He's never been married.
Yeah.
You know, guys like that sire, you know, kids, you'd think he'd have a couple of, you know, he'd have a couple of sons by now.
Princes.
Yeah, he'd have some princes to inherit the
kingdom.
He's got a pretty
firm grip on that scepter.
Yeah, he's grabbing that thing, like, he definitely knows what to do with it.
Yeah.
It's
a little disturbing.
He's no stranger to the business end of a scepter. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Jay, listen, Cricket's, you know, she's awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
you know, a way to maybe solve this whole oral thing.
Felt like would you like to meet Cricket?
Well, I feel like I'd like to go back to Disneyland again. And if I could just, you know, be with Cricket.
Yeah.
I just, no? Not.
I don't, you know. She's pretty happy. She's living a pretty good life, I got to say.
I don't want to. What? Again, maybe this is just a tap water talking, but while you're in the hospital.
Yeah.
Cricket went through a pretty tough stretch there. And, you know, she's. I wouldn't
say she was happy to have me home.
A shoulder to cry on was what she was looking for. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. But, you know, as a friend, I felt like. You know, did you ever see Casino?
Look, she's no dummy. You know, you can offer her. You can offer her the occasional dinner at Arnie Morton's.
Right.
Okay? But you're not getting her the 150-foot yacht in Capri.
Oh, right. Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not stupid.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The Casino reference was, well, you'd have to look that up. That was Joe Pesci, two-time, and his good friend Bobby De Niro. Do you have one more for us, Michael?
I think we do. Steven says, Adam, I love the podcast, but I really need you to discuss the history and evolution of the jockstrap. Because is the jockstrap still necessary within the age of Under Armour?
I say no. The day the midway underpant was invented, we did away with the athletic supporter. I feel bad because there was tons of comedy slowly, just based on the jockstrap that was good for about 65 years, and now it's basically gone.
Yeah.
And I was shocked, Jack, to hear that every pro NFL player I've ever interviewed says he does not wear a cup.
What?
That's what I said.
No, my 10-year-old son plays Little League Baseball, catcher, and he's wearing a cup.
Definitely.
Yeah, the Under Armour thing.
Yeah.
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 The demise of the jock strap has also had an impact on sports announcers who can no longer say he was faked out of his
jock.
Yeah.
He's not fit to carry this guy's jock.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of screwing around with snapping a guy's jock strap.
Yeah.
Just calling the guys jocks. Yeah. There was also the guy who wore it like a surgical mask around the locker room. That was always good for a laugh.
What team did you play on?
It'd be funny when he'd pull it down and go, sorry, there's nothing I could do. Yeah, just what are announcers? Like, announcer's going to go, oh, he faked him out of his midway briefs. Brought to you by Armorall or Under Armour or whatever. No, that doesn't work. Or he's not
Armorall and Under Armour doing a cross promotion would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, just wax it up.
Wax on, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, one more, please.
One more. Well, it's kind of a little more esoteric.
All right.
Yosarian wants to know, Adam, I love your rants on politics and society. I'd love to hear your idea of utopia and how you would run the world if you had your choices.
Uh-oh. All right. I'm going to give myself just a minute and a half here so I don't spin out of control. I'm actually looking at the clock. I would like the government to be based solely on psychology and sociology. Look at human beings as animals, and you try to get them to do what you want them to do. That's all we are.
With cattle prods, or
whatever you need to do, put down the Bible, get off your high horse and your soapbox, stop blowing smoke up everyone's ass, and just get it done. Which is to say, in 1988, somebody said, hey, maybe we should give clean needles out to junkies so they don't give AIDS to so the AIDS doesn't make its way into the heterosexual population. And someone said, what? We're not going to endorse drug use. We're not giving out clean needles. Good. They didn't give out the clean needles, and AIDS made its way into the IV drug-using community. Fine. That is not doing what I want you to do. What I want you to do is treat us like a fucking herd of penguin. And you go, look, the penguins are getting into the town and they're getting run over. How do we stop them? We figure out the best way to do it, and that's how we do it. I don't think we do that now as a society. I know we don't do that now as a society. I know there's ways to get people to do what you want them to do. And as a matter of fact, we're going the opposite fucking way. we're doing shit like, well, I mean, we're kind of going the European route. You're a hardworking man. You're getting taxed at probably 40%.
Like 90.
In your tax bracket. Your fucking idea of taking more of my money and giving it to people and lowering their self-esteem and making them feel less energetic and less likely to work is a fucking horrible idea. That is how you get, that's why we have this problem in the first place, and how you make it worse, how you exacerbate it, how you take the races and break them apart and call them, oh, they're disenfranchised and they don't have a chance. That's how you fuck them up more, you condescending cocksuckers. I know how to fix things. You fucking tell people to get off your fucking ass and get to work. I don't care what fucking color you are. I don't care how much money your parents have. I don't care what fucking God you pray to. Go out there and bust your ass. You know what? It's a fairly even playing field. It really is. In this day and age, it's fairly even. Whoever works the hardest is going to do the best. Do not take money away from the people that work the hardest and give it to the people that don't feel like working. That's going to fuck things up the most.
Yeah. You and me, between us, are probably paying about 50% of all the income taxes collected in the country.
That's right.
And if we add, I don't know, if we add like Trump.
Carl Karcher's,
he's passed on. But his estate.
He's still paying.
Yeah, he's still paying.
That's the whole point. He may have been put in the ground in 1984, but he's been paying through the fucking nose from the grave.
Yeah, I know. I'm paying taxes the equivalent of like 300 families.
Yes,
but I'm not using 300 times the roads or 300 times the public schools.
You don't even use any of the public schools or the libraries, and I like it when the asshole wags his finger at you and goes, well, you make more, so you should be paying. I already am paying more.
You should run for office.
Yeah, like it would work. It's not going to work because there's more of them than there are of you, and those fucking people are too weak, and they just buy into the shit that the Democrats are spoon-feeding them and go, yeah, that's right. How about we spread around the wealth? Listen, there's going to be no wealth to spread around. Get off your fucking ass and work. And by the way, you ain't going to be happy just by me giving you some of my money. That's not going to magically make you happy. You think that key to happiness is the car or the house? The key to happiness is the satisfaction and peace of mind of knowing you busted your ass to get that house, not got your man in office so he could give you some of my money for me busting my ass. Thank you very much.
I started with a bun and a dream.
And I think that's where we're going to end. Jack, this has been enlightening.
For me as well. I had no idea that we would cover some of the topics we covered today, but I really enjoyed it.
Well,
and be sure to take me up on that coupon for 2 free tacos.
The next time I get baked, I'm going to hammer this thing back at the North Hollywood One where it all started. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Jack of Jack in the Box, our good buddy Booker Mike August, and my buddy Donnie, a.k.a. The Wheeze, saying mahalo.